We are the Incredible Critics, incredible not because we're great, but because our credibility should seriously be in question. I am Ben Franco. This week we are talking our favorite movie memories. Not moments, memories. Joining me as always is Andrew, the big tuna, Dr. Thunder Moore.
Hey Ben, how's it going?
It's going. And Austin, I'm sorry, I don't know your nickname or last name.
Just call me Drago.
I'm not going to do that.
My last name is Dragovich.
Oh, okay. Then I might.
There you go.
Context is important.
Context, that went from I'm not going to do that to okay, I can appreciate that. Very cool. Austin has the unfortunate pleasure of being Tuna's roommate. Or so he says. Pretty sure it's still just his parents. What's it like living with Tuna? Let's start there.
The smells can get pretty odd. Not gonna lie. I didn't know that you could have a smell with a combination of nuclear waste and dog urine. But somehow, I don't know what he does in that room.
Delicious.
Here we are.
Yeah, but there is a biohazard sign on the door of his room where he's at right now, which I assume is where he makes all of his meth.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Instead, right. You know, bald head, goatee.
Yeah. You know, white. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, growing on.
I'm the one who knocks.
How many people live with y'all?
Austin and Wyatt. So two other guys live with me.
And then two cats who are very, very demanding. And you know what? They don't move a paw to pay any rent. They don't help around the house. They just lay around all day. They're like having druggies in the house, probably from doing the meth.
I was just going to say that I have two kids and it's very similar. And then you went into the drug comparison.
I would hope not.
Yeah, that ruined it. That's
ruining is one of my specialties. So.
Very nice. the other thing I want to ask you guys is how is COVID like up in your area, or I should just say the pandemic in general? Because I'll just say down here, it's like the CDC was like, yeah, you don't have to wear masks because you're vaccinated. And everybody's like, immediately, it's like, we're normal again. It's very strange and unsettling for me.
It was kind of like that before the CDC even said anything.
Yeah, news hadn't quite reached out to our boondock town that, hey, maybe you shouldn't spread this to other people.
Yeah, okay.
To be fair, it's never really been super bad up here either. Like, it's spiked a couple times, but even then at its worst, it wasn't anywhere close to the major areas. Definitely,
right.
People
well,
definitely
I mean,
shouldn't have been
it was, though. I remember in like December, in December, our county per capita, cases per capita, was like one of the highest in the entire country.
Was it? I never thought it got that high.
That's from Jim Nobles.
There's enough people up there to have a per capita statistic?
Apparently.
I think they fudged it a little bit, but they're, you know.
It's like, you know, the amount of sick per 10 people was the highest comparison in the nation.
It was one of the...
I don't recall.
Well, that's interesting.
But thankfully, our population isn't super dense, so it was probably a lot of people traveling.
And yet, in some way, they are dense.
Yes, but we won't go into that because I work with some of them, and I don't want to be too flagrant right now. Normally, I would be, but the internet is watching me, and I don't feel like getting canceled before I even get started.
Sorry, we forgot to tell you, nobody watches this show. Nobody.
Frankie and Tim don't even watch.
For office someday. Someone will find something I say on this show, this particular episode.
This will be the reason why you can't run for presidency in the future.
Oh, well,
just so
actually,
you know.
there are actually probably several pictures that disqualify me.
Several stories. I can think of one right off the bat.
Well, you can't just set that tease up and not deliver.
That's inappropriate for air.
Yeah. Let's just say it involves bachelor parties.
Okay. All right. I got some of those too. It's fun. My wife and I are more on the conservative side since we had a child born start of the pandemic. So it's very unsettling, like walking by people that are unmasked. I'm also antisocial, so I prefer to not see people in general. So the mask thing was really working for me, and yeah, I'm kind of sad to
start. I'm sorry, man. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, man. Keeping people 6 feet away, I worked my entire life to do that, and now last year has been like the least amount of stress possible.
It was an introvert's paradise.
It really was, man. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days while you're in them, you know? With that, let's talk about what we've been watching in What's On. The best part about all of these sound cues is that we can't really hear them besides Tuna. So we are just dancing so that we don't sit there looking odd into the camera. We really got to figure that out. Tuna, have you been watching anything interesting this week?
Well, just today I caught up on episode 5 of season 2 of The Chosen. Over the weekend, I also watched a Studio Ghibli film, Princess Mononoke, which was amazing.
So Studio Ghibli is one of those things where, like, I haven't watched a single thing that they've made, but I feel like I should have.
I think you could appreciate a lot of it, a lot of what I, at least what I've seen. I haven't seen much in the way of Ghibli films myself, but what I
like
have...
Like Spirited Away is Ghibli, right?
Yes. Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, My Neighbor Totoro.
My Neighbor Totoro, I've
Nausicaa,
heard that one's pretty good too.
I was about to say, I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but thankfully you brought up names that I recognize that I go, oh yeah, I said I should have seen that like 15 years ago.
I'm in the same boat. I'm like, well, why haven't I seen Spirited Away by now? I know nothing about what it's about, but I feel like I should have seen it by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Studio Ghibli is an animation studio. That's headed up by Hayao Miyazaki. Yeah. And he's done a lot of amazingly beautifully animated movies and has been, I guess you could say he's kind of been groundbreaking as far as animation and film has gone. I'm sure some people could argue that, and super well known for just gorgeous hand-drawn animations. The musical scores for his films are often well received. I mean, Princess Mononoke was no exception. There was outstanding score. The animation was breathtaking, and the story felt a little bit like stories we've probably heard or seen before, as far as kind of. I don't want, without spoiling too much, it has a bit of like this protect the environment kind of thing message to it.
Okay.
But in a way that ties in like traditional Japanese folklore and other stuff in a really unique way, where it doesn't feel like, oh, I've seen this already necessarily. It's pretty phenomenal.
Nice.
But
Austin. Oh, sorry.
I just was going to say, one thing, though, I did have an expectation for Ghibli films that they were all kind of light and fluffy, like G or PG at most. This was definitely PG-13. It's animated, but it's not a kid's movie at all. There's some pretty dark spots in it, and it actually is kind of bloody in some areas, surprisingly.
You told me more than anyone else has ever done.
Sorry?
You just sold me on them more than anyone else has ever done.
Well, it's a beautifully crafted movie.
Beautifully crafted gore fests. Wonderful.
My favorite kids movie growing up, and I don't remember anything about it now, but it was I don't even know how I found it, but it was dark. It's a movie called Little Nemo: Adventures in Slumberland.
I feel like I've heard of that.
Little Nemo does sound vaguely familiar.
It is. I think it was based on a manga.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this.
Might have been. Yeah, definitely check it out. I don't remember anything about it, but it was that actually may have been Studio Ghibli. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway,
It was a lot of the people that formed Studio Ghibli, I think, were part of it, like George Lucas, Chuck Jones, Brad Bird.
Okay.
Ken Anderson.
Anyway, I remember loving it, and but looking back, I'm like, I remember some really dark parts of that. Like, why did my parents let me watch that? Anyway, Austin, have you been watching anything this week?
So I might get a little crucified for this, but I'm just finally going through Breaking Bad.
Okay.
So I'm on the last season now, and I had a friend of mine actually that said that she liked everything up to the end of season 4 more than season 5, and I actually find the opposite to be true. I found myself more compelled by the 5th season than everything else that's happened so far. And it is a really, really good show. Like,
it's amazing to me that show works, because I don't generally like shows about just awful people being awful, but like somehow Bryan Cranston is able to pull that off, like, and still make me kind of love him.
Like, yeah, well, I think it's believable too. Like the way that all the characters were written, and the way that I think one of the reasons I really am liking this 5th season is that I'm like kind of seeing them start to solidify in their final state, so to speak.
Like, are you going to move on to Better Call Saul?
I will eventually, but not right away, because I need to catch up on a lot of Marvel and Star Wars.
I mean, do you though?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
In particular, The Mandalorian. Another time.
On top of that, though, I watched the new Mortal Kombat.
Okay. On, why?
Which was really. I mean, it's. I think the filmmakers deliberately were like, you know what? There's no way people are going to actually take this seriously. So like, it's like kind of serious in tone, but then at the same time, it's like. It knows what it is, and so like the action sequences are ridiculous and over the top. Lots of like ridiculous gore, like you would expect from the video game. But it was a fun ride.
I've heard a lot of people say that it actually like it makes the games seem tame. Like that's how much gore.
In some sense, people who didn't aren't good with the like getting the fatalities and stuff in the game, that just kind of button mash the casuals. Yeah, that it probably does, because there's a lot of like really, just really over the top. Like yeah. It's so over the top that you can't even call it gross, because it's like it's so cartoonish.
I got about 5 minutes into it and was like, nope, not for me. Not for me. Not the least bit interested in this. I was like 8, 9 years old when the first two. I saw the first Mortal Kombat.
This movie is nothing like the originals.
I saw the first or the second one in theaters, way before I should have. I like grew up loving those movies, and I this was not for me. I was just like, nope.
Fair enough. And then I also rewatched recently Marriage Story on Netflix.
So good.
Which is a fantastic movie. I'm telling you, that wall had it coming, though.
I mean, that scene in the middle, it just... the performance...
Devastating.
I'm sorry?
It was just devastating. Like good.
Oh, my goodness.
Is good. That the Adam Driver and...
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta watch it.
I haven't seen it yet. That's been on my list.
I mean, it is not an easy watch, but it is so well performed, and they do such a good job. That's one of those ones that stays with you for sure.
What have you been watching, Ben?
I got to check out Stowaway on Netflix.
Oh.
This is the space film with Anna Kendrick, Toni Collette. I forget the two male leads, because I'm terrible. That guy from Lost, and then I didn't know where the other guy was from. But it has a pretty basic, a pretty straightforward setup. They're on a manned mission to Mars, and there's enough oxygen for three of them, and they find out there's a fourth. hilarity ensues. It's a really solid film. A lot of people compare it to Sunshine. If you've seen that, I believe that was, what, 2007, 2009, somewhere in that range, with Cillian Murphy. Just in how it developed. Have you seen it?
No, you said Cillian Murphy, and I'm like, I'm in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so people, Sunshine is one of those films that people either love it or hate it. But when I was, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about some sci-fi thing, and I was looking up movies, and like people were ranking it as like one of the most underrated sci-fi films. I wasn't a huge fan, but
I like
but it
Alex
was still
Garland,
you know, solid.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Was that directed by Alex Garland?
It was.
Okay, all right. I'll just say, so this wasn't meant to be about Sunshine, but I'll go ahead and talk about it. Weird turn. Makes a weird turn.
Sorry, it's not.
It's a hard.
Directed by Alex Garland. It was written by. Sunshine was written by Alex. Written by Alex Garland. I'm not
okay,
talking
written.
About Stowaway. I don't know about Stowaway.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Sunshine, though. Sunshine, it makes a weird turn. And you either love the direction that it ends up going or you don't like it. And for me, it didn't work. But, you know, definitely check it out. Still well worth seeing. Stowaway, I enjoyed it. It is not the best movie, but it's well worth your time. You know, if you're into sci-fi, which Tune, I know you are.
Yes.
Guessing, Austin, you are. It's really solid, very interesting, great performances. It cruises along. It doesn't, like, you know, waste a lot of time building tension.
Mm-hmm.
The ending didn't land for me. I would have liked to see something else there, but solid performances, you know, just a really good movie. Is all I'll say. And the last thing that I think that we want to talk about is, I mean, how can we get through today without talking about the trailer for The Eternals?
Oh boy.
Austin, did you check out the trailer for The Eternals today?
I did, and gotta say, probably the most underwhelming Marvel trailer I've seen. I don't give a toss about this movie. I will see it, but I don't give a toss about it right now.
But have you seen any other Chloe Zhao movies? And do you, nope. And if you have, have you? Okay, all this right. I think that plays into how you view the trailer. What's there. Wrong?
I went to go watch the trailer and forgot audio from my computer's being recorded and broadcast.
Yeah, that's
and an
fine.
Ad started playing for like a half a second.
Oh. Was it a super inappropriate ad?
No. I didn't even catch what was said, but it just made me laugh for a second.
Yeah. I used to play Spotify when it first came out in my office at Valley Forge. And it was the ad version, and there were some ads that
yes, Trojan, I gotta love them.
And it would just start, and I'd have it on speakers, and you know, that's good. Yeah, I feel like whether or not you've seen Chloe Zhao's movies and your opinions on those movies kind of would influence how you view this film. Tuna, what were your thoughts about it?
Visually, I find it fascinating because it kind of marks the sci-fi vibes that I enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but it's really hard to tell just how different it's going to be from a trailer, but I'm hoping that it has some of the same weirdness that WandaVision had. And having a different director that wouldn't normally do something like this makes me hopeful
yeah.
that will be the case. Again, visually, it looks interesting. Some parts of it seem distinctly Marvel-esque. Other parts, I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I'm a little intrigued. But
my biggest complaint about the trailer was the lack of Kumail Nanjiani and his glorious muscles. He's the only part that I really care about right now.
I mean, the cast looks star-studded and perfect.
Yeah.
The most diverse cast that they've had so far,
for sure.
Which is great. I've only seen Nomadland by Chloe Zhao. I really want to see the writer. What you guys might be interested in doing, or about those films, if you don't know anything about them, is what she those films weren't nominated for SAG awards because was it SAG? Yeah, Screen Actors. Yeah. Because what she does is she for the both of those movies, she pretty much went to those locations where those people are and just took people actually living those lives and had them in their movie. So wow. They weren't it wasn't a SAG it wasn't a SAG nominated film because it was outside of the union because they were non-union workers. And so it's just really interesting to see like she like pretty much went and like immersed herself in that environment and then took what she found in that environment and made a movie out of it. And you either love That's it or intriguing. I wasn't a fan of Nomadland.
Mm-hmm.
But it was beautifully shot and it was well directed, and so that gives me hopes for this movie. And I think that having seen Nomadland, it makes me I could totally see how whatever she filmed wouldn't make a good trailer, because that movie, it's so much more about the atmosphere. It's sure. so much more about the, you know, it is these long takes of like just gorgeous landscapes and like things that you can't quick cut into a good trailer.
I mean, Marvel could use a little bit of atmosphere, new atmosphere building.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be interesting to see how the characters are developed, because completely new characters, from what we can tell in the trailer, that nobody that we recognize at all is in this right. movie. I mean, James Gunn did it with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he did a good right. job of creating a cast that you felt you were in love with by the end of the movie. It'll be interesting to see if she can do the same thing with this. At the very least, I'm just hoping to see some like new, interesting departures from the norm as far as the Marvel formula goes.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean into my antagonism here with your Guardians comparison, Andrew, because I remember that. I remember like I don't have any idea who these people are.
Yeah.
But by the time those trailers were out, like I was like, give me that raccoon with the gun. But this movie, I will trust Ben your analysis of Chloe Zhao's filmmaking style, and I will, like I said, I'm gonna watch the movie anyway because
right.
like I am a Marvel fan and I am hoping that this will bring something new tonally to the table, because I feel like many times in the past I've been personally burned by the kind of tease of, hey, this is gonna be a little darker, a little more like
right
like down to earth, like gritty serious, and then it doesn't end up happening. They teased it with Iron Man 3, they teased right. it with Age of Ultron, they teased it with Captain America Civil War, they teased it with even the third and fourth Avengers movies. Like those are still pretty like for Marvel they were darker and gritty, but there was still a lot of undercutting of serious moments with yep. with Whedon-esque jokes.
Yep.
And that's why I'm most interested to see this film, because I'm more interested to see, okay, will this movie be what Chloe Zhao wanted it to be, or will this movie be what the Marvel machine wanted it to be? And those for other directors are, you know, could be two completely different things. So I'm very yeah. interested to see what is going to happen with this film. So
I'm optimistic with this one because, and I'm remembering back to like Thor 2. That experience for a lot of people at work then that was really wasn't good. Like the director and Natalie Portman come to mind immediately. Yeah. But then since then, Marvel had their kind of restructuring a few years ago with the
yep.
power dynamics in place. So I have a feeling that, especially like as bulletproof as Marvel basically is now, like even if like they I don't think they've ever had. The closest thing they've had to a flop is the Incredible Hulk all the way back in 2008.
Oh yeah, I mean, come on.
And since then, like they're just like they're almost every movie is like between the $500 million to $1 billion range, easy.
I was gonna say a flop for them is a half of the $500 million.
And, yeah, that's disappointing.
You know, and that's
insane.
They'll make that if that doesn't cover costs, then the IPs that they sell in toys certainly will. So. Yeah, I'm very, very intrigued. I'm actually going to pick up one of the Eternals comic lines. Interesting. Trying to decide on which one, but oh. I'm curious to see what that looks like.
You heard it here, folks. This trailer and director have single-handedly gotten Ben to get into Marvel Comics.
You know, it probably will be the first Marvel comic. I have a lot of DC and then a lot of other non-superhero comics. So, yeah, this might be the first Marvel one that I get into.
I have a mixed bag upstairs.
The last thing we wanted to talk about, and I don't even know when we started, so who cares, is our favorite movie memories. Now, here's the thing. Movies, whether they are good and bad, can often have a profound impact on you. Even mm-hmm. even sometimes bad ones more so than good ones.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to think about what are some of your fondest movie memories. Because, like, for example, I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but Tuna, you were there the first Avengers film.
Yeah, that was gonna be in my list, dude.
Here's the thing. I remember how it felt being there mm-hmm. with Tuna and had to be at least 30 or 40 other people. Like, it felt like the whole theater was packed with people.
It was likely like 70% of the digital media major from our college was there.
it was an insane amount of people that we knew, and it was the largest crowd that I ever went to the movie theater where I knew everybody for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how I felt about the movie, but I remember how I felt being there. And so it's kind of cool to think about those moments and kind of what made them special. So I was curious, you know, what are some of your favorite movie memories, regardless, again, of the movie quality?
To piggyback off of that, Ben, yeah, that was going to be the first one that I brought up, was the social experience of that event. It's kind of, in my mind, what epitomizes the theater going experience.
Sure.
You have a bunch of people who are all excited about the same thing and are anticipating this wild ride they're about to go on. And as far as Avengers, the first Avengers go, I think it pretty much delivered on that for everybody that was in the theater when we were there. Everybody was cheering and clapping and joking around and laughing. And because all of us knew each other so much, the conversations that went on before and after the movie and, it was basically just like having a big party at your house for a movie night, but at the theater.
Yeah.
And that's what made it stand out so much in my mind. Austin?
Along with those kind of really big event type feelings, films, I'd say the first one that comes to mind as far as like film events is The Force Awakens. If in retrospect you look back on it and with some different feelings, just the feeling surrounding the build up to that movie, and just like the feel, I read a very, it was either a very good article or watched a very good video, one of the two, that talked about how in our lifetimes there likely will never ever be a film event like The Force Awakens ever again, just because of how much surrounded that experience that led up to it, and then just that feeling of being in the theater. I still think that The Force Awakens is probably the best of the sequel trilogy. I don't care that it's a sort of remake of A New Hope. I don't care. It was fun. I had a great time, and I think the only thing that came close to that probably would have been Endgame, Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that, and I would argue Endgame was probably a more fun experience overall because people were disappointed. I was in Los Angeles at that time.
Okay.
So you can imagine the kind of people that are going to see those movies.
Yeah.
And so like it was very much like a big party. Like everyone was just like laughing and cheering and like there was so much crying. There was so much energy. And I wish I could get that feeling in a bottle and inject it in my veins.
There's this weird thing where my favorite movie going experiences are either when the theater is completely empty or it's opening night and the theater's completely packed. Yeah. Everything in between sucks. Yep. But those two are the absolute best. And they're polar opposites. Mm. The other one that came to mind for me was I got to see Scott Pilgrim vs. the World in the theater.
Ooh.
Completely empty theater with Tim Lasersgruber. And it was just him and I laughing it up, watching this film, being loud and obnoxious, which I'm normally not during a film, but just when you're with your close friend watching a great, fun movie, it's the best. The other thing I was going to say is a yearly tradition that, or I guess by or twice yearly tradition that I had is in college during finals week, there would be at least one day that my roommate and I would load up at the start of the day. We would load up the Fellowship of the Ring extended edition. And while we were cramming for tests and or finishing projects, we would literally just that one day have the whole trilogy on in the background. And we'd come and go,
That's awesome.
Our test and then come back and be an hour later. But literally you have 12 hours of content. Like you have a full day in front of you.
Yep.
And every single year we would do that. And it was, it was still so much fun. So much fun.
Ben, you're just segueing perfectly into my list because my next movie was going to be The Fellowship of the Ring. I remember leading up to going to see the movie, I was at the dinner table with my family. I was 11 years old before Fellowship of the Ring came out in theaters. And my dad was so excited about the movies coming out because he had read The Lord of the Rings when he was younger and loved the books. And he was so excited about the Lord of the Rings movies coming to theaters. And movies have always kind of been a connection point for my dad and I. So he was super stoked about taking me to the theater and convinced my mom to let him take me because it's PG-13 and I was 11 at the time. And she was concerned it would be too intense. But my dad was like, oh, no, it's great. It has biblical underpinnings. Like, it'll be fine. So I was at 11 years old, obviously. Oh, I was super excited. I get to go see a PG-13 movie in theaters. But more so than that, it was just a fun father-son experience. It was also super hyped there because The Lord of the Rings had a pretty big following for book readers. So the movie theater was packed when we went. It was so packed that we could only get... It's the only time in my life I remember going to a movie and being forced to sit in the first row. Front row because it was so packed. We really enjoyed it the first time, but then we went and saw it a second time further back and enjoyed it even more because we can take in the experience without our necks being sore. But seeing those movies is near and dear to my heart because of just how incredible they are. They're in my top 10 movies of all time. And they have that association of family bonding.
It's funny that you say that because I had a very similar experience. My sister, who's 6 years older than me, she was in college at the time that they came out. And our yearly tradition was that when she came home from Christmas break, like I would wait to go see it till she came home from Christmas break and we would go see it. And then for Christmas, she would buy me the last year's Lord of the Rings extended edition on DVD and then we'd watch that on Christmas. So there's a lot of, same for me, a lot of family ties to that trilogy. Austin, bring us home. You got one more for us?
I'm gonna cram two in there because I want to dunk
on Andrew
real quick.
That's fine.
So he's talking about how he saw a PG-13 movie when he was 11. I was 4 years old when I saw the Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie in theater.
Oh, nice.
And that actually isn't. I was just gonna say that and leave it there, but just real quick, that actually was an experience for me because like I was so young, I had no idea what was going on until I was about 9 or 10 years old. I thought Godzilla actually destroyed Madison Square Garden.
Oh my goodness!
When news talked about things happening there, I was like, didn't that get destroyed?
That's funny. I actually remember loving that film. It came out when I was probably like 9 or 10, which sounds about right. I still remember the marketing for that film. There was a huge Taco Bell campaign.
I remember this Taco Bell ones. Here, lizard, yeah. lizard.
So that movie, I won't rewatch that film because I know that it's terrible, but it has a special place in my heart.
I watched it a couple years ago, and I still enjoy it just because it is such a core film experience for me. And actually, I feel like a lot of the effects, not all of them, but a lot of the effects actually still hold up relatively well. But the experience that I was really going to go for was, it's different from everything we've talked about so far. In high school, I think this was either 9th grade or 10th grade, I went with my good friend Max to see the Friday the 13th reboot film.
Nice.
And we sat in the front row. It was a small, little bit of a smaller theater. It was a local downtown one. And we had a foam finger with us. And every time that there was a kill on screen, he would go, "Hey, you go, Jason!" And eventually, like halfway through the movie, like everyone started joining in with us. And so, like, we were, so every time someone died, we were like, "What?" Like cheering for Jason killing people. And I think that was just that. That's probably one of my, if not my most unique movie experience that I've ever had the pleasure of helping facilitate.
That's only amazing because everybody joined in. Otherwise, that story would have been super obnoxious. Although I wouldn't care because it's a horror film. But because everybody joined in, that makes it. Well, Tuna, where can people connect with us and let us know what their favorite movie moments are?
Oh, please share with us on Facebook.com. If you're watching this, you know where to find it, at Incredible Critics.
Nobody's watching, Tuna. You know nobody watches.
Or if you're listening later, find us at Twitter at 3CriticsPod, Instagram, I guess, maybe at Incredible Critics, you know, wherever. Just leave a review Apple podcast things.
Go to iTunes.
Yeah, go to iTunes. Try it. See what happens.
This is my pitch to get sponsored by Orville Redenbacher, which I've been eating this entire episode.
And so. Music's out.
Yeah, we got to work on that music.
Just as a little like after credits memory, and this is for you, Joe, if you're listening. When I went with Joe Carrion to see The Dark Knight Rises, because that's our movie together, and he and I were so stoked for this movie. His wife Amanda went with us as well. The theater was packed. Everyone was excited. There was a lightning storm happening during the movie. Power went out at three separate times during the movie, and it faded to black, you know, everything went dark. First time everybody was just like, oh, what's going on? Oh, the power will be back. I'm sure they'll get it back on. They get brought it back up, movie was back on, it was fine. Second time the power went out, everything was black. Somebody yelled out in a Batman voice, "Where's Rachel?" And then the lights came back on, movie came back up, although they had skipped ahead, like I found out later it was like 5 minutes of the movie we missed. They started up at the wrong spot.
That was during the Dark Knight?
Dark Knight Rises, the last one.
Okay, alright, well, we'll allow
it. It disrupted the emotional like experience for us, though, as it being the conclusion. But the best part was, it was wild that people were able to remember the lines so well. But the third time the power went out, somebody like took their cup and went in with Bane. "You really adopted the dark. I was born with it." It was so timely and perfect.
That's awesome.
Everybody erupted laughing. It made it a little bit better, but it was sad to have that experience sullied a little bit.
Yeah.
When I first saw Joker in theaters, I almost got into a fight. I was with my girlfriend at the time and another friend of ours, and there was these guys that were being like really obnoxious, like wear it a little back this way, like they were talking and like throughout almost the entire movie, and they kind of were getting louder and louder, and eventually like towards the end, like.